Hi, this is Lance Treadwell from Albany, New York. You're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
Perfect.
This Thursday will be the Thingularity Radio Show at 7 p.m. here on WGXE. And we're going to talk about all the things that Twitter won't show you.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanituck, the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
Wayfarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Elizabeth LeJudis in Hennecroy, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Bill Maloney reports for Politico that it is a congressional election year, and in New York, the district lines are still not drawn. In December, a state court of appeals threw out the current lines and gave the state's Independent Redistricting Commission a February 28th deadline to produce new draft congressional districts. Candidates begin collecting petitions to run for the still unknown districts on February 27th. The local boards of elections have said they would prefer the districts be made public around February 1st. The commission still needs to come up with the new district lines, and the legislature has to vote to accept them. But the commissioners who are deciding the new district lines have not scheduled a public meeting since planning one was held a few days after Christmas. Common Cause New York Executive Director Susan Lerner said, and I quote, "Conducting business behind closed doors is unacceptable. Open your doors to the people. The people who live in congressional districts deserve a say in who will represent them," end quote. The judge ruled in their December decision that the commission is not required to, and I quote, "conduct any solicitation of public commentary beyond what it has done previously," end quote. It is possible that the congressional primary is delayed, as in 2022, when the court ordered new district lines to be drawn, the primaries moved from June to August. Read more about this story in Politico. Tessa Bentulin reports for WNYT that the Rensselaer County Legislature unanimously voted this week to set up a new registry for drug dealers. The registry will be a list tracking where convicted drug dealers in the county are living, similar to a sex offender registry. Rensselaer County District Attorney Mary Pat Donnelly said, and I quote, "I think what I want the community to know is this is your elected legislators' response to what we hear time and time again out in the community. What can we do about these drug dealers? How can we keep these drugs out of our communities?" End quote. The registry will include 16-year-olds and up, even though the state's new Raise the Age law changed the age that a child can be prosecuted as an adult to 18 in criminal cases in New York State. Read more about this story at WNYT. Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that Thomas Cole's painting, View Near Catskill, sold January 18th for more than $500,000 at Christie's Auction House in New York City. An undisclosed buyer paid $504,000 for Bune near Catskill. The painting, created in 1828 and 1829, shows the plateau of Jefferson Heights in the foreground and Catskill High Peak and Round Top Mountain. Cole is considered to be the first major American landscape painter, and the Thomas Cole House in Catskill celebrates his work. Bune near Catskill was originally owned by General Stephen Van Rensselaer III, a U.S. congressperson, president of the Albany Institute, and a founder of Rensselaer Polytech Institute. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. And that wraps up the WGXE Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The court is acutely aware of the extent of the human tragedy that is unfolding in the region and is deeply concerned about the continuing loss of life and human suffering.
President of the International Court of Justice, Joan Donahue, says Israel may be committing genocide in Gaza. While the court is unwilling to take the drastic step and declined to call for a ceasefire, the ICJ is pressing for better protection of civilians. Donald Trump's legal team says they're undeterred that a New York jury ruled the former president must pay more than $83 million to E. Jean Carroll for defaming her and denying he sexually assaulted her. Trump lawyer Alina Haba says she'll continue to represent him.
No, I'm not having any second thoughts about representing President Trump. It is the proudest thing I could ever do.
Trump's camp says they plan to appeal. Saturday, the former president campaigned in Las Vegas ahead of Nevada's first-ever presidential preference primary. Trump says those running for public office should be forced to take an aptitude test.
I think everybody running for president and vice president should take a cognitive test, okay?
Under the state's complicated new system, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley has opted to run in the state's primary, while Trump will be on the ballot for a separate caucus February 8th. The primary and caucus are close to anyone outside of the party, and the delegates will be decided by the caucus. Texas Governor Greg Abbott calls the situation at the border an invasion. While that could allow him to take authority from federal agencies such as the Border Patrol, Abbott hasn't formally made the argument in court. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says Abbott is only complicating the situation.
What we're seeing from Governor Abbott, you've heard me say this over and over again, he's making it harder for Border Patrol to do their jobs. They need access.
In the most recent battle over who controls immigration, the Supreme Court gave the Border Patrol permission to remove razor wire Texas installed on the border. The Utah legislature has been in session almost 2 weeks, and one group says there have been more than 10 anti-democracy bills introduced. T.J. Ellerbeck with the Rural Utah Project says some lawmakers would put major limits on who, how, and when folks can vote.
The worst of those is one bill that would eliminate voting by mail in Utah. And Utah has been an all vote by mail state for the last 8 years. Some parts of the state have been all vote by mail for 10 years, and over 90% of Utahns vote by mail.
If passed, House Bill 92 would require voters who want to vote by mail to sign up. Currently, county clerks send out mail-in ballots automatically. Supporters say the bill would help clean up voter rolls and increase active voter participation. Finally, the Biden administration has announced it'll forgive nearly $5 million in student debt for almost 75,000 borrowers through Department of Education fixes to income-driven repayment and public service loan forgiveness. Democratic representative from Massachusetts, Ayanna Pressley, calls it transformative.
Student loan cancellation will change and save lives.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hey, how are you? Well, they're
you're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Opinions in two North Carolina cases offer both good news and bad. A sweeping voter suppression bill was temporarily blocked, but a gerrymandered state Senate map diluting black voting power was upheld. Sweeping voter suppression bill HB 747 shortens the number of days when mail-in ballots can be received, limits notifications to a voter before removal from the voter rolls, allows poll observers to take pictures of voters in the polling place, and loosens restrictions on who can challenge another voter's ballot, among many voter suppression tactics. Democracy Docket reports there are three lawsuits challenging different provisions of the bill. A provision targeting voters who register and vote on Election Day, used more by mobile, housing-insecure voters of color and younger voters, does not give those voters a chance to cure a registration or ballot issue, resulting in their ballots being thrown out. The temporary injunction stops rejection of those ballots during the state's March 5th presidential primary. In another court, democracy groups challenged the North Carolina legislature's latest state Senate redistricting map as diluting black voting power in five Northeast counties. Governor Roy Cooper had vetoed the map, but was overridden. The judge found there wasn't sufficient evidence that black voters met the criteria for a majority-minority district. We have more in the cases and the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, January 29th. We are 7% of the way through the year. There are 78 days left until official spring equinox. Local early morning temperatures range from 28 in Tannersville to 32 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 35 degrees, and snow totals are in for yesterday. We got an inch in Athens, Catskill got 1.4, Jewett got 5, and Tannersville was the clear winner, coming in at 10 inches. Those elevated areas can expect a continued winter storm warning still in place to cover snow that is going to fall in patches, stopping around noontime. Shortly afterwards, we get a high of 39 degrees around 1 p.m. It's going to be windy, so watch for blowing snow, even on clear roads. Overnight, temperatures drop to 23 degrees. Tomorrow will be freezing with a high of 33 at 3 p.m. Winds calm a bit, but you still got to layer up if going outside. Time-saving tip, don't take off the pajamas, just get dressed over them. Overnight, another sub-freezing dip to 23 degrees takes us into a dry, mostly cloudy Wednesday with a high of 38. Thursday, looks like rain is possible with a high of 42. Sunset today will be at 4:50 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:07 a.m. Looking way up, we see a pretty big M-class flare was emitted from departing sunspot 3559. It caused some radio disturbances, and satellites are currently absorbing some extra juice, but they seem to be handling it just fine. X-class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be low today at 393 kilometers per second with a thin density of 3 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 75, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. And just a reminder, this Thursday will be the Thingularity Radio Show at 7 p.m. here on WGXE, and we're going to talk about all the things that Twitter won't show you.
This is deprogramming from the Universal Media Network.
Nah, I don't like that.
Well, try just putting a, even if it takes a hair more time, putting a little bit more of a wry thing on correct.
Track 13.
This announcement from the producers of this record contains important information for radio program directors and is not for broadcast. The first cut on this record has been cross-format focused for airplay success. As you well know, a record must break on radio in order to actually provide a living for the artists involved. Up until now, you've had to make these record-breaking decisions on your own, relying only on perplexing intangibilities like taste and intuition. But now, there's a better way. The cut that follows is the product of newly developed compositional techniques based on state-of-the-art marketing analysis technology. This cut has been analytically designed to break on radio, and it will, sooner or later. For the station that breaks it first, the benefits are obvious. You lead the pack. Yes, no matter what share of this crazy market you do business in, no other release is going to satisfy your corporation's current idea of good radio like this one. On this cut, we're working together on the same wavelength in scientific harmony. But remember, This cut is constructed for multi-market breaking now. Don't waste valuable research with needless delay. We've done the hard work of ensuring your success. The final step is up to you. Special designer song follows in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So-called injection of the air into the esophagus. Immediately afterwards, you will hear the basic sounds formed.
Shoegaze. An inspired melody from an experimental band that no one knows about. Lost in 10 million songs. After the gig, crossing the parking lot in the deserted town. Getting into the beat-up Subaru, never to return. Play your flute sound, little elfin birthday child. Spicy tofu and kimchi waiting when your song ends. What's for dessert? Fresh shoegaze with frozen art sauce and pink noise sprinkles.
Thank you.
Lotus Blossom Anti-Paranoia Air Freshener. Glows Sky Blue when the easy piano version of Simple Well-Being is nearby. I'm feeling good, breathing in and out, supported by my friends. Standing on a stage that is nothing other than life as it actually is. Soft old dogs, chocolate croissants, new sneakers, an honest discussion, a few laughs, without winning or losing. Sure, we have to pay the rent, but if we work together, the Light Up Lotus Blossom Anti-Paranoia Air Freshener plays a happy chip tune from its tiny speaker.
Catskill, that's Rodney Allen Greenblatt with the song Shoegaze from his 2023 album Box with Tubes.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
The gallery again brings us a unique exhibition of work for artists in the local community. Carl Sprague, Setting the Stage, is an exhibition beginning January 24th, running into February 24th. Here he speaks with Andrea Cunliffe from the Hudson Mohawk magazine about his life as a storyteller through design that began as a boy with his family marionette theater, and then his remarkable career as a designer, which spans small independent films to big budget studio projects for some of Hollywood's most revered directors.
I'm really curious how this all came about, how this child grew up.
Well, no, this is the story. I'm going to do a puppet show about this.
Oh, you are. Great. And that's one. This Saturday.
Yeah. And so this is basically sets for that. I brought a few other puppets and props and stuff just to show. This is a theater that originally my great grandfather started. And it's in this tradition of Czech family theater. So it's very small scale. They're just like 8-inch puppets. They're toys. And they're good for kids to play with. But it's part of this great Czech puppetry tradition that, you know, is ongoing.
Your grandfather was a professional puppeteer.
No, he was not. He was a textile manufacturer.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. And this was where?
In northern Bohemia, north of Prague.
Right. Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
So it's kind of wonderful. It's very much like around here. It could be North Adams, you know. The story of this was that he built it for my grandmother and her brother, and I don't know how far it had gotten at that point in the 20s, but then he was going to refurbish it and added more scenery and so forth, and he was going to send it down to Slovenia, where my mother and her parents were living, and her sister at the time, for a Christmas present. But it was the war, and there was no going anywhere. So nothing happened, and then my grandparents emigrated eventually to the United States, and my father was driving around, and he was trying to do sort of a romantic end run, escorting my mother and around my grandparents, who really didn't approve of him at all. So he went to go visit my grandmother's parents in Bohemia, and they were delighted to see him, and they gave him lunch and dinner and so forth, and thought he was charming. And anyway, he got a lot of brownie points and married my mother eventually. But on the way out, my great-grandmother said, you know, but you should take the puppet theater. And so he loaded it into his little VW convertible and managed to sort of like smuggle it out of Czechoslovakia. And,
oh, my gosh.
And then my grandmother spent, more than a year fixing up the puppets and restoring all this ancient stuff and making them beautiful clothes. I mean, you can see.
Oh, my gosh, how many are there?
There's 100.
Oh.
But these are just the ones mostly for this show.
What are they made of?
The heads are plaster, wood, and feet are plaster also. And then they've got like little wooden bodies and little
joints
and
stuff
beautifully
like that.
The costuming.
Yeah,
is...
no, she did. She was amazing at that. I mean,
look at this guy here. He's wonderful. He's even got a watch fob, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She really knew what she was doing.
And they're only, what, maybe 10 inches at the most.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're little. And what's nice is that they're simple, the traditional Czech.
He's a monster.
He's the beast.
Oh, and look at a dragon. And are you alone presenting this, or do you have...
The thing about it is, like, you can definitely easily handle two of them, two characters on stage, then, like, one sitting down, or, you know, or you need, or two are sitting down, and then you've got two that are standing, or... So it's really helpful to have another hand. And then also for, like, changing these sets, because each one of these little trays with the scenery, it's all very ad-lib, so I do most of the voices.
And this is another set. Look at this. This is the dining room.
Yeah.
Oh, how delightful.
Sort of recreation of sort of my version of what it was like to go to my grandmother's house for Christmas when the puppet theater finally happened, and I was 8 years old.
8 years old, you used to sit on the floor or sit on the chairs and watch.
Yeah, well, and she would take cookies and, like, you know. Anyway, so it's sort of an homage. This is the more like the proscenium of the theater that I've done at home. And
so you started storytelling at 8 at least,
huh? Yeah, it was not very sophisticated storytelling. We did a lot of monster stories. I mean, you know, it was always the same thing. It was like, you know, a monster comes along and then the prince comes and, like, you know, slays the monster. And so we did that, many of those. But then I got involved in some fancier things. We did a lot of fairy tales.
Princess
and the Pea and Cinderella. And then this was for, I did a very Hansel elaborate production of, Faust.
Oh my.
Yes,
okay,
exactly.
Well, you grew from monsters to Faust.
Yes, yes.
Not a big difference.
Yeah. But anyway, so that got me interested in theater, and I did a lot of theater and up through college and
you
film.
Did film.
Well, film. I mean, I knew right away that film pays.
Oh, I see.
Theater does not, or at least not for me. But I did a film major, philosophy minor at Harvard, and I did a bunch of theater productions that I ended up designing and building the sets myself because. Finding a Harvard student that knows how to use a hammer is
a challenge.
Exactly. So,
but you were mostly directing, or writing.
I was interested in all of that, but I ended up coming away with it like, you know, it's like, oh gosh, I mean, everyone says they want to direct. And I said, well, you know, if I design, I mean, that seems like it could be a path, and so I did that and pursued it, and I'm still pursuing it. So anyway, so they got it organized. So this is like a little sidebar with the Nutcracker, which I did with the first one. I've done like 5 Nutcrackers now, but for different organizations. But the first one and the most close to my heart is for the Albany Berkshire Ballet.
And when was that done?
2000, I think we...
All right.
It's almost 25 years ago.
This was your set design.
Yeah. These are some for some other organizations. And then American Repertory Ballet, and then in New Hampshire, City Center Ballet that I've worked with a bunch. And then some operas, Berkshire Opera, lots of work for Berkshire Theater Group. You know, I've worked for other theaters in New York, and I stopped kind of pursuing theater as such because I need something that has a paycheck at the end of the week.
The arts, unfortunately, are never funded as well as they should be.
I love it. I put a lot of effort into some of these productions.
You're really active in the Berkshires, right?
Well, it's where I live. I mean, I live right next to the door to the theaters in Stockbridge.
You can't keep you out.
It's been. Well, you're based in Troy, right? I mean,
yes.
So that was Age of Innocence was all in Troy.
Oh yes, of
that
course.
Was probably, what, 1990 or something. Well, yeah, it was like. That long ago.
Wow, some of those buildings are still there, you know?
Yeah, no, Troy is a film set waiting to happen. I mean, they came back recently for Gilded Age.
Yes, they have.
And used some of the same locations we used for
Age
of Innocence. Well, I mean, exactly. I mean, you can't improve on it.
So have you been back to Troy? Have you swung through?
Not lately, but, I mean, you know, from time to time. Okay. It's a beautiful place.
Okay, good. Yeah. Great. Wonderful. So what's in the future for you?
I wish I knew.
Boston University, you're doing that course.
And then kind of waiting for the phone to ring. But it's January, and we just had this, like, you know, practically year-long strike from the Actors and Writers Guild. And it's amazing how slow the business is to kind of reorganize and pick up. I figured everyone would be, you know, beavering away, getting things ready for when the strike ended. But I don't know. It doesn't seem to be working that way. So.
Well, it was strange because we had those years of COVID and then...
Well, COVID wasn't so bad for me because I was able to get some jobs working from home, which was terrific. But, but the strike just stopped everything.
You've done quite well. You've done over 40 film and TV.
If you look on IMDb, you can get my... I don't even remember my resume.
This has been Andrea Kunle for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, speaking with Carl Sprague at the Opalka Gallery.
That interview was from...
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Yeah.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir. Llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456. Mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
Hello, WGXC listeners. This is Kelly McCon. Campbell Hudson is hosting its monthly dinner on Tuesday, February 6th at 5:30 in our Solaris building, 360 Warren Street. Come experience community and meet new people and old friends over a freshly prepared meal made by our local volunteers. Everyone is invited and no one will be turned away. We'll be glad to see you there, and please bring a friend.
This is Leaves from Alexander Turnquist. Kingston, Alexander Turnquist, playing guitar on Leaves, from his 2012 album, Like Sunburned Snowflakes, on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
I wrapped my love in leaves of green. As the sun on the hills, it did shine. things like the distant springs which flow till they all do combine. Then we did flow and combine as we lay. And our love, it will surely last till the leaves have blown all away. As the sun, it warmed our bones, my love, I wrapped in leaves of red. She sang of things like the starling's wings as they fall through the clouds overhead. Then we did fall through clouds white and gray, and our love, it will surely last till the leaves have blown all away. As the sun sank lower than before, she whispered things about nettle stings, how her heart was brittle and sore. Then both our hearts, they inclined forward astray, and our love, it did surely last till the leaves had blown all away.
From 2023, that's Leaves from Kopech's PG6 on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To poor blind birds. since you've been dead these 7 years. I've seen you twice in a glass of red brandy and ice. As the sky hung a wreath in the house of grief. We live in a world we can't understand. Ooh, poor blind birds, if we're snow of Shenandoah. In this long, long dream of life, it's a lonely road that leads us home. We live in a
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a 3-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many 3-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a 3-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
Next up, we have 2023 new music from local band Jaded Azurites. That's Columbia County poet Karen Schomer and legendary bassist Mike Watt. Here is the song Songed from their 2023 release, Number 6.
In the blue motel of sleep, on the purple beat, a hand touches the piano key. I dip beneath layers, deep layers of voices. emerge into a hallway. Closed doors of bedrooms, brass knobs with mechanisms designed to stop me. Rooms with mothers and fathers, sofas, rugs, mantelpieces. The complete Yale Shakespeare. Surprising heaviness of small blue books. I whisper to the books. It is fortunate that I touched him in the blue motel of sleep.
All radio enthusiasts, have you ever wanted to be on the radio or learn how to edit audio? Got a great idea for a short segment to play during our drive time shows? Start making radio with us at WGXE 90.7 FM as part of the WGXE Community Contributors Program. No prior experience needed. For more information, contact content at wgxe.org. That is content at WGXE.org.
Columbia County-based singer-songwriter Chris Pelnett has a new song released in August of 2023 called Billie Eilish Won't Follow Me.
Phineas and his sister won't follow me. Yes, I don't care much, but there's no pretending anymore. We have something to lose. I buy handfuls of cheaters there, just a dollar for a pair, so I can read the news. But when I read it, I gotta think the whole world is on the brink. Depressing, isn't it? But there's a refuge I have found, a whole universe of sound, ethereal music. Phineas and his sister won't follow me, I guess I don't care much, but just the same. Would it be too much to hope that they think this song is dope, or even just okay?
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a three-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many three-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a three-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
Catskills musician Kendra McKinley has a 2023 album out called Where Does a Body Begin? Here is the song Wake Me Up from Kendra McKinley.